Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Becker on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday morning. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland. That's me. I'm the south side of town here in Rutherford County. Willie Donick is over on the east side of town in East Nashville. And Chase McCabe over on the west side representing in Bellevue. Elijah Campbell holding the fort down at our Wholesale Inc. Game Studios powered by Rumble On. Let's say hello and good morning to Richard Deitch from The Athletic and find out what's happening in his world. It's been a couple weeks since we've checked in with Richard. Richard, how you doing? Richard, are you there? I heard something. I heard the shh, there's rustling.
See, there it is again.
We're not having any luck.
Maybe put him on hold. Hello? And check with.
There we go. Uh-oh, wait a minute. We just heard something.
Hey, yeah, hey. What's
up,
Richard,
guys?
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are
okay.
you?
Okay. How's everything going? Considering.
Well, I'm in the dates sort of like start going floating through your head. I think I'm in day 9 of self-quarantine at the moment because when I returned to Toronto, the per the government of Canada, and smartly so, they asked anybody who had traveled abroad to self-quarantine for 14 days. I also had traveled to, which at the time Canada had designated one of the 3 hotspots, California, New York, or Washington State. I think actually since then, obviously the borders have shut, but even before that, Canada at a certain point designated if you traveled anywhere outside of its borders to self-quarantine. So like probably millions of people around the globe, I am currently in self-quarantine to get past the 14-day mark at least. I don't believe I was exposed to anybody in New York to coronavirus, but the reality of this virus is you don't know. There's a lot of asymptomatic people out there who are probably carriers. And so yeah, it's been a very weird time, I'm sure, for you guys in Tennessee.
No doubt about it. So the only way to go to Canada right now is if you are a full-time resident. Is that correct? Or how's that working at the border right now?
Yeah, I love the fact that you're now considering me the prime minister of the country. I'll take that promotion.
It pays well,
yeah,
I'm sure.
At the moment, I apologize if I'm incorrect about this, but I believe at the moment the only people who are allowed to cross over the border would have to do with trade between the two countries. Mm-hmm. So some kind of designated trade route, whatever that would mean. I'm not sure that means trucks or planes, but it means something. So that's part one. And then I believe part two is any Canadians abroad can still be brought back to the country at the moment, although I can't tell you exactly like sort of where and how that exists. But yes, essentially at this point, there is no commercial travel coming in to Canada from anywhere. So the border is sort of ostensibly closed at the moment, at least to, you know, what we would normally consider commercial travel.
Yeah. We had Elliot Friedman on the show yesterday, and
oh, nice.
We said that we will forever always remember when everything shut down in the sports world in this market because, ironically, both teams, two of the three professional sports teams, which are happen to be in their seasons, were set to play in Toronto, where you live. Of course, the Predators were set to play the Leafs, and the new MLS team, Nashville SC, was going to play their third game ever in their MLS inaugural season in Toronto. So that's when everything came to a screeching halt. It'll be easy to remember that here in this market because both teams were set to be playing up where you are.
Let me just point out something for your listeners that I personally find interesting. So I looked at the guest list coming up after me. You guys have Trey Wingo and Linda Cohn, obviously good guests, and myself. I mean, can you get a more dramatic difference when it comes to salary and net income from the 10:15 mark to the 1 p.m. mark? So that for your listeners, I mean, you're going to be heading up the financial chain as the guest list heads down.
Well, in all seriousness, we have Trey and Linda on a lot, but I'm sure you've seen what Barrett Sports Media put out there, the Sports Center, you know, anchors, greatest anchors tournament, and we were just basically going to probe Trey and see if he felt like he was worthy of a 7 seed, if he feels slighted. Linda Cohn was given a 2 seed. I don't know if you've seen the bracket or not and how you feel about it, but we were going to have a little fun with that.
Nice. So you get to see one of the things that I think will this pandemic will amplify is the creativity among people in the sports media. So whether it's you guys or whether it's The Athletic or ESPN, you know, there's no live sports at the moment, so you have to really sort of come up with creative things to do. Again, I'm not saying that this is some kind of genius idea, but in thinking like this week, okay, what am I going to write with Tom Brady heading to the Bucks? You know, The Athletic has 500,000 football people to sort of dissect what that means. So I contacted 11 members of the Patriots media to ask them what advice they would give on covering Tom Brady to the Tampa Bay media and how Brady was as an interview subject. Again, I'm not saying this idea goes down in the Hall of Fame of ideas, but this will be sort of a test for all of us in the business in terms of how can we continue to provide sort of interesting, entertaining, and creative ideas given that live sports is there. I also think, and I mean this sincerely, because obviously I'm on the radio in Toronto, you guys are there in Nashville. Radio/audio plays a really important part in what's going on now because I think I've always thought the medium is sort of very much a comfort medium. There's something very soothing and relaxing about hearing somebody, as opposed to sort of seeing the visuals on television. So I don't know if the numbers are going to go up or down, but I do think at least anecdotally from what I've heard from people, at least in Toronto, they really appreciate that we're on the air. Because it gives them something, it gives them at least a little bit of escapism from what is a pretty awful reality.
Yeah, well said.
Richard Deitch is with us from The Athletic. And Richard, before we go any further, our thoughts are to you. I know you've been pretty public about it. Your mom passed away here recently, and you shared a lot of your thoughts and things like that. So we just want to pass along our well wishes to your family as you go through this.
Yeah, it's very nice. I will, you know, I think what day are we on today here? So my mom passed away roughly 2 weeks ago. And I have to be honest. I mean, it's kind of a surreal thing to think about. But had she passed away, like literally 7 days later, I don't know if I would have been able to go to the funeral and to be able to go back to her house with my brothers and sisters and sort of just try to get things in order and, you know, host people who wanted to come and pay their respects because we literally got back to Canada about 6 days before essentially it became just about impossible to travel. And so, you know, it makes me think of, and I guarantee so many Americans are sort of dealing with this now, it makes me think of so many people who cannot get to their elderly parents or elderly relatives, particularly in another state or far away because of this. It's like an excruciating decision. I mean, you should social distance. You absolutely should quarantine. I mean, with all respect to people who are saying otherwise, I think their fear monger is talk to any hospital person. This is a real thing, but it really kills me just to think that people cannot get to their elderly parents. And if there's any, I wouldn't call it a silver lining because it sounds so odd, But if there's anything I am thankful for, it's honestly just that my mom passed away the week she did, because had she passed away a week later, I'm not sure actually I wouldn't be able to go.
You bring up a really good point. I have a buddy here in town who owns several UPS stores, and I just checked in with him just the other day. And to your point, I said, how's everything going? He's a small business owner. We have concerns about people who have small businesses. These are rough times for them. And he said, actually, things are pretty hectic. Business is actually really good. And I said, really? And he pointed out exactly what you said. Right now, people can't go visit their loved ones. They've got parents or grandparents that are older, and they cannot go visit them or go see them. And so they are sending them things. And I had never really thought about it until he said that. And, of course, you just reiterated that point.
Yeah, it's well said. You know, the other thing, too, is, and again, you know, small things, but important things. In 2020, the ability to stay in contact with people is extraordinarily different than it was when all of us were kids. Like, the fact alone, something like FaceTime exists, or some kind of video conferencing, where you can literally see the person you want to talk to, it's just immeasurably game-changing, just emotionally and mentally and everything else. You know, if this happens in, like, 1987, let's say, you know, you're trying to keep in touch with people by phone. You have just think exponentially of what you can't do. You can't use apps and stuff to order groceries or food. You can't stay. You probably cannot visibly see the persons you would like to see via the technology that exists. You know, it's just exponentially on and on and on and on and on. So at least, you know, we are in an era, at least, where one, more people can work from home. I'm not saying, you know, there's no, in terms of the restaurant business or service or retail, that's not the case. But, you know, we are fortunate in a sense that we do live in a year and an era where technology will help us. But that said, I think all of us will look back, knock on wood, this eventually passes 25, 30, 35 years from now. This will be one of the signature moments of our life, the way the Kennedy assassination was for people of that era and 9/11 was for people of that era.
Richard, one of the things that I think you've done in some of your writings is to illustrate what some real people are going through, and including John Forslund, a colleague that we've had on the show. I cross paths with him a lot, as you can imagine, and what he's going through is quite unique right now, and I really like how he's represented what's going on with him, even though, knock on wood, he's going to be fine, and he is symptom-free, I guess, as we speak right now. But what an amazing story. But it kind of dawns on you that as you read his story, it could have been anybody, right? It could be any one of us that happens to cross paths with somebody who unfortunately has the virus. That's how quick it spreads. But tell us your conversation with him.
Yeah, well, I mean, John Forslund, just in the sort of randomness of life, happened to check into a hotel room in Dallas after Rudy Gobert. Literally, he was in Rudy Gobert's hotel room. When I talked to him a couple of days ago, he was not showing symptoms. He was asymptomatic, and the Hurricanes believe that the hotel room had been sterilized and clean. But I mean, listen, impossible to know. I don't know enough about the virus, but it seems if you just read enough that it can stay on surfaces for a couple of days. And so, John Forslund, doing his sort of due diligence, and I think doing something for his community, decided I gotta go in and I gotta self isolate. And so, when I checked in with him on whatever it was, day four or five, he was lucky enough to have a sort of home basement set up where he had a bedroom down there and television and internet and exercise equipment. And he was going to do the he was quarantining for 14 days. And for him, it was really, really hard because he self-admittedly doesn't have any hobbies other than hockey. And he's not sure what to do with himself. He actually told me he was struggling more mentally than physically, for sure, because he was trying to figure out sort of what he can do. And he hears his family living above him, and that's very, very tough. The one thing about Forslund, and I should check in with him because I haven't talked to him in a couple of days. But the thing I really appreciate about him, and I don't think, let me sort of check that. I don't want to make any larger pronouncements. I'll just sort of specific it to him. the thing I really appreciate about him is he has a large sense of sort of community and sort of publicness in that he wasn't going to use his connections to get a test because he was respectful of the fact that there's clearly a test shortage. And when I talked to him, he had not been tested, even though as the Hurricanes broadcaster and as someone who's, you know, a very sort of public figure in Carolina, the guy had access to doctors who could easily have gotten tested, for sure. So that's something I just really appreciate, a guy who had no symptoms and recognized, like, sort of beyond him, like, hey, I'm not going to take a test from somebody who really, really may need it, at least until, you know, I get some kind of symptoms that would, that would sort of prompt me to get the test. So I didn't know him much before talking to him on the phone. He seems like a really, really stand-up guy. As a hockey broadcaster, obviously, he's excellent. And the Hurricanes are lucky to have basically a national guy calling their games.
We're talking to Richard Deitch from The Athletic, the media circus. And one thing that I wanted to bring up with you is we talked about this to start the show, that you have the sports networks that are getting creative this time of year. And one thing that NASCAR has done is a lot of these drivers participate in online racing and do that as a hobby, but they've actually now formed an invitational series, and they're going to race at the tracks that they should be going to, and FS1 is actually going to show it with their normal broadcast team of Mike Joy, Jeff Gordon, and Larry McReynolds on the call. What do you think about that idea of showing actual drivers racing each other in a video game?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I think it's creative and different. I don't think Fox should expect big viewership for this. The thing about e-viewing at this point is, while it's obviously had massive interest on places like Twitch and online forums, it has not yet proven to be like what we call linear television, traditional television, ESPN, CBS, et cetera. It hasn't proven to be any kind of viewership success there. But I think that's kind of a cool thing. You have to get creative with your programming decisions during this time for as long as it lasts. I love the fact that CBS decided this weekend to show all the greatest games in the history of the NCAA tournament. They're in a very fortunate position where they own that content. For places like ESPN, it's not so easy. They don't. They actually own less games than you might think. But CBS lock stock has had a contract with the NCAA, for whatever it's been, 30, 40 years. Those, they have the rights to re-air those games. And so I thought that was an awesome decision. So, on Saturday, I don't have it in front of me, but I did tweet it out. I know like the Michael Jordan's game-winning shot, I think it was 83 or 82 in the NCAA championship. They're playing that. They're playing the Kentucky-Duke game, the Eastern regional final, basically considered perhaps the greatest NCAA game in history, which is the Leitner shot. So I love that. Like, that to me is like really cool, and they're going to do six games over the course of Saturday and Sunday. And you have to do that. I mean, ESPN sort of doing their Ocho thing again, where you're seeing all these oddball things coming on. I think that's smart. You got to try to be as creative as possible. And then if you're all these networks, just like if you're us, you pray like you get a Tom Brady kind of thing, and that could carry you for the week. I mean, I can guarantee Toronto radio has never talked more about a Tampa Bay Bucks quarterback than they have this week.
Well, just to pass along, because we did do this yesterday, this is going to be aired on CBS. The other game, Richard, sandwiched in between those two. This is on Saturday. The other game is going to be the national championship game in 83. You referenced the 82 one. NC State, Houston is going to be the one sandwiched in between Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Georgetown. On Sunday, it's going to be the national championship game in 08, Memphis and Kansas, the overtime thriller. And then the game following that will be last year's national championship game. And then the final game on Sunday will be 2016 Villanova and North Carolina. So those are
– Yeah, and they're doing – by the way, can you – I mean, this is sort of an old-school thought, but, like, can you believe a college basketball team with Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler actually lost the game?
I know.
Unbelievable to think about.
I know. It doesn't fare well for
guys.
They
had some other guys who were pretty good, too.
Yes, yeah, that's a very good point on that. But, like – I love that stuff. And I haven't seen – I think the American public hasn't seen that in a long time. So as like a media, sports media ratings nerd, I'll be curious to see if that – what kind of viewership or what kind of what kind of tune-in gets. I will just tell you guys, just again, from sort of being part of this world, the cable news numbers are percentages up like 50, 60, 70%, and they're dwarfing, not surprisingly, the sports networks. So ESPN and Fox Sports 1, NBC Sports Network, all those networks are way, way down. People are just basically consumed by news right now.
Chase, you got another one? You done?
Yeah, real quick, Richard, because we're the wrestling guys. WrestleMania, now 2 days, still going on. They're holding on that they're going to do this event from the WWE Performance Center after it got canceled in Tampa. What are your thoughts on that? Is the WWE making the right decision by keeping this thing going and keeping their weekly shows going?
Well, so two things on that. One, I like the fact that they're doing the weekly shows. I think that's pretty cool. Between AEW and WWE, I've actually found it really, really interesting. If you're into wrestling, there's all sorts of opinions all over the map, whether they like it or not. But I think that's pretty cool, actually. I appreciate them doing that. The WrestleMania one, I'm not going to lie, bothers me a little bit because I don't know how you can pull that kind of mega event off without having hundreds of people sort of working for you, being in that same place. They're obviously not going to have a crowd, but I don't know. I don't know how you pull that. That does not strike me as an event that's going to have 50 or less people, what every single person from the CDC and elsewhere is advising. So I really don't like the optic and the message. So I'm sort of mixed on it. I really like what they're doing week to week, and I hope they continue it. I think it's cool, but WrestleMania just feels like such a big thing that they're not really following the protocols that have been asked. But it's a private business, and Vince McMahon and company can do what they want. I will say this: I have no doubt it will be massively viewed, because I think people will crave people are craving live anything right now, and that will be a mega mega live something.
While Dana White and Vince McMahon built empires with their respective sports, it's also not surprising that those two have been like kind of the last ones to kind of conform to everything that's going on, right? I mean, Dana White finally had to give in when he was trying to do the same thing Vince McMahon, is fight it all the way to the end, and it was going to be business as usual, and eventually he had to cave, but they've been great at what they do, but I'm not surprised that those two were kind of like the last one still standing, trying to fight all the way until the end. Richard, we're thinking about you, and I know that you've gone through a tough 2 weeks, and we appreciate you joining us. It was good to catch up again.
Yeah, good to be with you guys. Thanks for doing what you're doing. Appreciate it.
Same to you. Richard Deitch from The Athletic. Always good to catch up with him. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.